Yo, what's good? What's good, everybody?
What up, buddy?
Some dude, what is this? I'm 13.
All right.
Some dude 213. Make sure you rate, subscribe, rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. We are. Oh, I didn't mean to do it there. Hold on. I don't want, what's the name? Cuss me out.
You're gonna get us in trouble.
I don't want Thomas to cuss me out. I didn't mean to hit that one. Why you had on there? I didn't mean to do that one. But make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to wherever you get your favorite podcast, though.
The Barber's Chair Network.
God damn it right. Barber's Chair Network is the home. How you doing, Mike? Because it's definitely been a long day. How you doing?
Oh, what's going on, bang? I'm all right. It's all good. I can't complain. No complaints. Oh, thanks.
It's been not like a stressful day.
Yeah.
Just a long day.
Yeah. I don't know. Like in the wintertime, the days just tend to be longer, but it's like at 3 o'clock, it's dark outside. And you look outside, you'd be like, damn, it's only 3 o'clock.
Dead ass.
Like, it's like, you know. I had read, did I see a headline that said Donald Trump wanted to get rid of daylight saving time?
Yeah. He do.
Does he know that getting rid of daylight saving time is not going to like stop it from getting like dark early? I don't know. Was that like, is that the reason why he wanted to do that? Or I don't know.
What is the purpose? Somebody,
I never understood the purpose of daylight saving time. I never understood it, but I enjoy when I get to stay in the bed an extra hour.
Yeah, I don't know what is the.
But after that day, it just feels normal again. It's normal.
Yeah, but, man, I don't know.
But you know, it tends to like when the sun sets earlier. Those days feel longer. Mm. You know, it's like, damn, it's 4 to 5 o'clock and it's dark as hell outside, but it's only 4 or 5 o'clock. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like. Am I supposed to go to sleep right now? No. But, you know. I don't know. But other than that, man, I can't complain, man. It's all good. Everything's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It snowed again.
Yeah, you know, I'm slightly irritated. But you know what, though? I always say it. I've lived in Chicago 38 years, my whole life. And I still hate the snow to this day. I'm not a snow guy. I hate it. Like, I'm used to it, but I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. And, you know, I'm not a fan in living here my whole life, and I still hate it. But I will not complain because we're not getting that, like, you know, huge accumulation. Like, you know, we ain't getting 4 to 5 inches. You know, it's coming down, like, you know, 1 inch, half inch snow, and then you know the sun comes out and melts it right away. So I can live with that. As long as we don't get no big snowstorm, I'm cool. I'm all right. Cause I got one of those long driveways that you know I have to look.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of work. You
that's crazy.
Well, it's damn to have a heart attack. Yeah. When it's just done. Nah. So luckily, like the housing, like luckily the HOA take care of shit.
Must be nice.
Hey, but see, motherfucker did my damn walkway. Yeah. I didn't know who the hell was at my walkway. I almost walked out my house like, man, who the fuck is you?
Who sent you?
Who sent you, fam? Like, why are you here? Motherfucker just
Mary, you know somebody outside shoveling
out. She was gone. It was just me. It was just me in the house, fam. It was just me in the house at the time. So I'm like, who was over here doing this shit? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they all right, bet. Shit. They over there, they're the other people's shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's straight. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask you a question. Hey, what will my new head coach look like? Like how's Mike McCarthy going to?
You know what? It's so funny that you say that too, because all signs point to Mike McCarthy being y'all head coach.
These it just seems like he's and dying him tomorrow. They
I was about to say it's like he is the topic of discussion. He is the main name that's being discussed surrounding.
Where do you
Chicago
wind
Bears?
And, yeah, question. Question for the day: where do you wine and dine like white people
in Chicago?
Yeah, like what do white people like when you say wine and dine? Like, what do white people go? Like, do they go to Chicago Cut? Like, and just go to town there? Like, where do the white people like go when you're trying to like schmooze and get
what fancy restaurants do we have in Chicago? I can't tell you. You can't like where so they go like what do you know maybe a steak? Yeah, what like, do you, what steak spots? Like, take them to Morton's or like a Steak 48. Gibson's.
Like, is Morton's
maybe
too poor for Mike McCarthy?
You know,
like,
what? That might be. Like, I don't know. So check it out. I'm not a steak connoisseur. I'm not a steakhouse connoisseur. I've eaten at Gibson's. I've eaten at Morton's. I think Morton's is a more upscale, slightly. Now, see, I know there's more steakhouses in Chicago. So I don't know. Don't quote me, but yeah, I would assume those are like the two ones that I've been to, and I love both of them. Both of them.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, if you're trying, like, if you're the Bears, and you're trying to say Mike McCarthy, we want you.
Yeah.
And where do you take Mike McCarthy if you're the Bears? Because the Bears cheap when it comes to that side. Like they interview Dan Quinn and he had like the middle seat and coach. Like,
oh wow.
Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, where do you go take him?
Yeah, I don't know, bang. This is y'all go at it. So, what you think? What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I don't be going nowhere.
Yeah. I don't go anywhere neither, though. I don't really go into the downtown area too tough, you know what I'm saying, to eat, you know, a lot out of my price range. You know, it'd be a one every great while. You know, shit. I'm sorry. I'm trying to see what's up with that Wilma's barbecue downtown. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to see what's up with that. So I don't know if you be watching. Do you watch the corporate? Do you watch corporate videos? The
Black Chicago. Yeah.
You be watching those? So he be like a lot of the scenes that he shoots. They shoot them at Wilma's. So Wilma's had one like out south, but it was like a ghetto one. But they put a real nice one in the city. Like downtown areas, and it's really nice. So he shot a few scenes in there, and it looks really nice. But it's like, you know, and I've had it, but I haven't been in there. I got one of my homies have bought some for me, but he was in there though. It's nice. Look like it's a nice dining spot. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, obviously it ain't upscale, but you know, when it comes to me and my downtown knowledge, and I'm thinking about where I want to eat at, I'm gonna go there first.
Yeah, I gotta upgrade my palate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I gotta upgrade my palate. Like, yeah. Folks be talking shit about me because, you know, I'll still, give me a burger from a corner restaurant.
I'm a very simple guy, bro. Simple. I'm telling you, it don't take nothing to please me when it comes to eating. I ain't gotta, you know, go to no upscale bullshit where it's a dress code and all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I gotta wear a suit coat. Like,
I like to say I sit at the bar. If you got a restaurant area with a bar, you know what I'm saying? I'm good. That put me in that.
Mike McCarthy looks like that type too. Like Mike McCarthy looks like, yo, where the bar at?
Yeah.
Like, but you're happy he's gone.
Yeah, bro. I'm good on Mike McCarthy. I think I feel like he was one year overstayed his welcome. I feel like we should have canned him when we lost to the Packers in the fucking playoffs last year. I feel like he should have been gone. But, you know, I guess they let him coach out the remaining of his contract. But I was all the way good on Mike McCarthy. When Mike McCarthy got hired, I was excited about it. And we won games. Like, we made the playoffs and everything like that. So it's like not – Mike McCarthy won games. But I don't feel like what Mike McCarthy had in place – for the organization, it wasn't enough for me, and I had seen enough as far as when it came to decision making. And I've been saying it on the pod that I feel like coaches have to take accountability for when their teams show on the field that they're unprepared and we just have ill-advised penalties and, you know, the playmaking when it comes to like certain scenarios in the game just don't fall in place like they should. And I put the blame on Mike McCarthy for that, for what I've seen the past couple seasons. And I'm just good on it, bro. I wish him well. You know, he won some football games for us, but it's time to move in another direction. What direction is that for the Dallas Cowboys? I have no idea, bro, at this time. I'm confused on where we're at, bro, because I don't know. Troy Aikman said something last night on Monday night during the pregame of Monday night of the wild card game last night. He said that in a nutshell, that the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job doesn't, like, appeal to other coaches. Like, it's not a dream job like people think that it is. And and he didn't say specifically why, but I feel like I think everybody knows that. Who wants to play under Jerry Jones, who's still living under a rock? Jerry Jones wants to have control, wants to be the GM, wants to be the owner, you know. And he has this reputation of being the guy that's still in control, even with a head coach in place. So it's like nobody really wants to come into a situation like that where, you know, a lot of these head coaches nowadays, they want GM control. They want more say-so when it comes to, you know, who we're bringing in as far as personnel or players on the field. The head coaches want more say-so in that. And I think under Jerry Jones, coaches probably feel like they won't get that. So I feel like that's what Troy Aikman should have said, but he didn't say it out of respect for Jerry Jones. But and Jerry Jones has been asked in the media recently, Jerry Jones, did you ever plan on giving up being a general manager? No. He said no. And I quote, no. It's like he's too stubborn, bro. He's still living in the 90s. Jerry Jones is out of touch when it comes to general managing. So I feel like coaches aren't flocking to the Dallas Cowboys head coaching position. But we'll see. I wish they were dead to Deion talks. I really can't wait until the college football season starts and Deion is on the sideline in Boulder. So you guys could stop pitching that shit, bro. For two reasons. One, I feel like that's his calling. I feel like that's what Deion should be doing. Whatever it is he's doing in Boulder, continue to do that, Deion. You know, raise these children, bro. Raise these kids to be grown men and not just good football players. I feel like that's Deion's calling when it comes to coaching college kids in football. Leave Deion be. I feel like he will eventually take that program into the right direction where they make the college playoff and they eventually contend for a national championship in years to come. Let Deion conquer that. We need to leave out.
Yeah, you don't want Deion.
I don't want Deion to coach the Cowboys nor any NFL team, bro. I don't want to see that, dog. I don't want to see it. And I honestly feel like deep down inside, he doesn't want to either. He might want to coach in the NFL eventually, like he said, under one circumstance. He get to coach his sons. But we know that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I don't see it. No coach is just going to roll out the red carpet for you because they have your sons playing on their football team. It don't work like that. It's not going to play out like that.
So who would you pick?
Honestly, bro, I wish I was on the Bill Belichick train. I wanted Bill Belichick. I was cool. I was hoping that Bill Belichick would still be available when Mike McCarthy was done in Dallas. But now he's not available anymore, even though technically
$10 million buyout.
Bro, I honestly don't see Bill Belichick just going and signing with North Carolina just a bail before even coaching one snap. Now, obviously, we know why he went to North Carolina. He's setting up his son. He's setting him up to be the head coach there eventually. I do see Bill Belichick coaching at least 1 to 2 seasons in North Carolina. I don't see him just taking that job and then saying, never mind, y'all, the NFL calling. I honestly feel like Bill Belichick wants to see that through at
Kellen
least
Moore?
One season. Kellen Moore. You know what, though? You know what we did? We missed our beat, bro. We should have promoted Dan Quinn. Kellen Moore, nope, I'm good. You fired him as an OC, so you're going to bring him in as a head coach? Nah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I honestly don't know, Bang. I mean, I don't know. I honestly have no clue. I couldn't tell you what the Cowboys are going to do as far as head coaching is concerned.
You know,
I have no lead on it. I can't pinpoint which way they're going to go.
We was doing I Ain't Gonna Hold You yesterday. You can watch that episode now on the YouTube, Barbershed YouTube. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to the audio on the Barbershed Network right now. I spaced out during that segment. But the only name that I could come up with outside of Kellen Moore was John Gruden.
Hey, bro. I'm cool with that too. I'm in on John Gruden. I feel like, you know, obviously the bullshit that went on with Oakland, you know, and whatever the lawsuit that was filed against him or whatever. That was some fucked up shit. But honestly, bro, I felt like he had Oakland going in the right direction. It would have worked out eventually, I feel like. But yeah, I'm cool with John Gruden. John Gruden's a great football mind. I know there's rumors circulating, but is the NFL going to let John Gruden back in?
Yeah, they'll let him in. Mm-hmm. He's white. You know what I mean? So do you think Mike McCarthy would be good for Caleb Williams? Like,
yeah. Obviously, he has an offensive mindset. We know Mike McCarthy to be one of those guys who's offense, who's an offensive mind. And Caleb is fine, bro. Like, everything is there as far as Caleb is concerned. He just needs everything to be put in play as far as the coaching is concerned. Like, everything is in play for him, fam. And the offensive line. You put the offensive line together, he has the pieces on the offensive side of the ball to be great. And we've seen the flashes. You know, we've seen the great things that he did. He's able to take care of the football. Blah, 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 all this good stuff like that. So, yeah, a good offensive mind like Mike McCarthy could possibly work for him. I could see that. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. So, but, I mean, you have a more, you know, better view of it. What do you think, bro? Because you're obviously, you obviously know now that Mike McCarthy is going to be your guy.
Man.
After this, the city of Chicago wines and dines him, he's going to be the man. He's gonna get wined and dined. After he gets wined and dined, bang, and the negotiations are going to start, where is your mindset going to be as far as Mike McCarthy being the guy leading y'all team?
The national media has did a great job today in convincing me that Mike McCarthy would be a good choice.
Okay.
Like, they, every time you turn on ESPN or Fox Sports 1, you see them talking about Bears Mike McCarthy. On the facility, faculty, whatever that shit is.
Yeah.
They talked about how good of a job that Mike McCarthy did do a good job with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's best season.
Dak Prescott's best season was under Mike McCarthy. Yeah, that's the reason why he got his money. So I wouldn't say that technically. So yeah, go ahead.
And one of the things that I was thinking about was how Caleb Williams say that his favorite quarterback of all time was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' coach, his best coach probably too, is Mike McCarthy. So who would know how to bring that out, that part out of him? Oh, no. I still want Ben Johnson. Albert Breer has said if you want stability, you get Mike McCarthy. If you want a splash, you get Ben Johnson. Okay. James Jones, former wide receiver of the Green Bay Packers, who was under Mike McCarthy, pause. He spoke highly of him. Everybody on there was like, yo, that would not be a bad hire at all. Ryan Clark said that you hire Mike McCarthy and you keep Thomas Brown as your OC. That's cool. I even said on I Ain't Gonna Hold You, and I had said in the group that, what if you have Mike McCarthy as your head coach and Ron Rivera as your DC? Ron Rivera, if he could do it, he gonna coach defense.
Yeah.
And the defense on the side of the Commanders, that was never really a real big issue until it was depleted. But when he got them people that Ron Rivera coached a hell of a defense, I think they do need some OGs though. Or they need a disciplinarian. They need somebody who ain't going to take no shit. If you could get, like, if you can't get Ben Johnson, because Tom Brady, like, owned him. He owned him, like, when he first saw Giselle running a runway as a model. He owned it like that.
Yeah.
He owned it like when he first saw Bridget Monahan. Like, Tom Brady owned it. If Tom Brady wants Ben Johnson, I'm not sure if Ben Johnson turns that down, even though the cupboard is bare as hell for the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. But since he's in the playoffs, and if you're the Bears, you're talking to Mike McCarthy tomorrow, and you're taking him to Chicago cut, if he talk that shit, it's like, yo, we might not even wait, G. Like, we might not even have to wait. So they did enough to sell me that Mike McCarthy wouldn't be a bad hire, especially if you have like Thomas Brown, who's already been working with Caleb and stuff, mm-hmm. and then he could be a true OC. But they sold me on Mike McCarthy and Ron Rivera. Like, that sold to me. But they did say you need a young offensive mind with Mike McCarthy, and maybe that is Thomas Brown, maybe it's somebody else. But I am interested in this particular. I am interested in that. Still nervous, but I'm with that. Because, I mean, it wasn't like you was championing this motherfucker when he was the coach. Like, what it looked like? Like, you geeked that they fired a nigga, and then I get the dude they fired.
Yeah, I wasn't. As I watched those football games, okay? I seen it firsthand, and I just honestly felt like it was I feel like Mike McCarthy didn't do enough. He didn't put his team, he didn't put the Cowboys in position to do what needed to be done.
Man, we'll see. But we'll see. But we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
We gotta get the right hire.
I ain't mad at I know it's a look, dude. I my heart goes out to you guys, bro. Like, honestly, fam. I've seen it. I've watched the Bears games this year, fam. I've seen this season. Bang, you called for the Bears to go to the Super Bowl, bro.
I did.
that was a stretch, but obviously the expectations were very high for the Chicago Bears this year, bro. And that season was very, very disappointing. And based off the expectations that were set for them. So I get it, bro. I understand. And I'm pulling for y'all, man. I hope it works out. I hope y'all get exactly what y'all need. Y'all got the quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that now. Now it's just we're going to get this head coaching thing in place, and hopefully it works out. So,
yeah, we got to figure it out. But, yeah, this is one of the most important hires in this team's history.
Okay.
Riding on this, so they got to get it right. Okay. All right, let's move on to our drug dealing cousins.
Yeah.
Mike, have you ever – had a situation where, like, your favorite cousins was beefing? Like, think of your favorite cousins. Now, you ever had a situation where you, like cousins was like, fuck him. I ain't fuck with him. And, like, them your niggas. Them your cousins. Like, them the ones.
Mm-mm. I got a lot of female cousins, too, so.
Oh, that's even better. Like, fuck that bitch.
Nah, bang. I ain't never really seen like too. I don't ever seen too much beef.
You ain't never seen like inside your the
family, bro. I don't have family feuds, bro. Like, I don't see too much family feuding.
Geez. Oh, so you got a loving family?
Yeah, bro. My family love each other, Joe. We big on family.
I mean,
bro.
Our family love each other, but we'll tell you, fuck you.
Nah, it ain't never been nothing like that. What? Like. So, like, they talk shit about each other, but it's never, like, to a point where, like, I think they just talk shit about each other, then the next day they cool.
Oh.
And ain't no, never no beef. Never no beef with my family, G. Especially on my old man's side of the family. Like, my old man, like, my aunties, you know, they love each other, bro. Like, solid, bro, you know? And all my cousins and... You know what I'm saying? And on female and male, on my dad's side, my mother's side of the family.
I love all my family members. I don't like them all, but I love them.
I don't see much of the family feud, no, bro.
Oh, that's great. I love
with, like, my favorite cousin.
I don't feud with none of my family members either. I just don't talk to you. It's not a feud. It's like, fuck you. Like, I love my family. I don't like a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they know that. Hopefully, if they see this, they might ask, who you don't like me? You don't like me, huh? I knew it.
Nah, no, no family, no
Louise
family.
Louise Brasfield loved you. I don't like what like you. I don't.
Yeah.
That's, hey, I'm proud of you, Mike.
Shout out to my family, bro.
Shout out to my family.
Shout out to mine
too.
We try to keep the peace, bro.
We try to keep the peace. Keeping the peace is sometimes not talking to a motherfucker.
Whatever that. So not talking to somebody, that's one thing. But we not personally going out on rants and social media or whatever, talking shit and saying, like, you know, spilling out personal business to the world. Like, it ain't none of that. None of that, bro. If it's
now that we don't do. That we don't do.
We not in it. We not.
Like, I could
anything like that of that nature.
I could not like. I could like not talk to you and not tell your business.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a family member tell my business when they mad at me. Yeah. If not, if they did, I probably have fought them already. But yeah, like, it's just some family members that I just can't stand.
Okay.
It's some that I would give them the shirt off my back.
Yeah.
Them the ones that I probably would beef with, though.
Okay.
Like, because it's personal. Like, we're so intertwined. I can see, like I could see if Vincent's watching this, like, I could see me and Vincent not talking to each other in like a year. Because that's my man's. And if I feel like he wronged me, I might have to take a step back.
That'd be crazy.
Like, I might have to. Like, sometimes for me, the issue could be so strong that I gotta take a step back from you. Because I love you that much to where I don't want to say anything wild or reckless. And then plus he bigger than me. I don't want to say nothing wild and reckless, so I might just remove myself from the situation.
Okay.
I don't have any situations though where I'll like talk shit about people in the open, but I also think sometimes the hurt in those type of relationships with family members is the reason why you might lash out.
Okay.
Reason why I bring this up is because our favorite cousins in rap, Jim Jones and Cameron, are beefing yet again.
Yeah.
This feels different, though. But they got issues again. Cam interviewed 50 Cent. He didn't mention, like, things by name. He just said they had some internal issues going on. The Dipset for a little bit. 50 Cent brought Jim Jones out. 50 Cent and Cam'ron was having rap issues at the time. Yada, yada, yada. Jim Jones goes on Justin LaBoy's joint and goes in on 50 Cent, Cam, Mace a little bit. Cam and Mace, Cam responded to those. And I think, see, social media does a great job, and I work in this, so I know. Social media does a great job at taking some of the salacious clips.
Yeah.
And putting it out there. But what Cam said at the end of his rant, I think was the most important. About how he was saying, like, everybody that was been around you is went to jail. You got to stop sending people, putting people on send-off missions. He basically told Jim Jones to grow the fuck up.
Okay.
He like, look at what Emery did. Emery got out. He putting people on. Like, when male matrons get out, put them on a salary. Like, do that. Like, all this other shit that you're doing. And shouts out to my man Jay Hollins, our man Jay Hollins. Jay Hollins said, he said that Cam'ron is like the oldest young nigga in rap. And I was laughing when he said that. I'm officially giving Jim Jones the title OGYN. He's the OG young nigga. Like, Jim Jones is an OG young nigga.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Jones still walks. Like, Jim Jones is that person. This is no diss. Let me first say, this is no diss. Because you want to feel as young as you can.
First of all, you see how these niggas dress, bro? Him and that's Joel. Like the way these, first of all, like obviously we see Jim Jones and Joel Santana. Dave, when you back in those Dipset, back when like Dipset's prime, you know, them niggas was like, you know, the fly guys, you know, like, you know, they was the flashy niggas. And they've always been big on fashion, especially Jim Jones. I think Joel Santana is still stuck like in those days as far as the dressing is concerned. Jim Jones is, he still put that shit on, but you know, you could tell he do it in a young nigga way though. So like he got the young nigga swag still on him and shit. You know what I'm saying? So just off him dressing alone, it's yeah, he an OG.
Yeah, like he's YN. An OG. For he's sure. An OGYN. Like Jim absolutely. Jones is an OGYN, not to be confused with what's that? OBGN or whatever shit with the, like, not to be confused with that. Jim Jones is a OGYN.
Absolutely.
OG young nigga. Mm-hmm. Jim Jones still walks around like he's 25 years old. Jim Jones still walks around like he's the boss, but he just got there.
Yeah.
Like, I just became chief. Like, that's how Jim Jones be walking around. But when I look at Jim Jones, now let me first say this, y'all, too. Let me start by saying this. I am a Dipset stan. I have all Cam's albums. I have all Juelz albums. I have all Juelz mixtapes. When YouTube went to YouTube Music, when it was Google Music, I had everything. I missed that deadline. I lost 30,000 songs.
Ouch.
In that database, I had every Cam album, every Juelz album and mixtape, every Jim Jones joint. I even have like Purple City. I had Bezel. Like, you know you're a Dipset stan when you have Bezel.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything Dipset, and I didn't dress like these niggas. Like, I couldn't afford it. That's why when I look at Dipset, I look at them as my drug dealing cousins that I want to be around. And just like, yo, I just want to be in the whip with y'all, fam. What a hoes at? Like, I just put me onto a hoe. Like, I am a Dipset stan. So I don't like when they beef, especially when they're in their 50s.
It's crazy too. I'm not a Dipset. Okay, so growing up, I wasn't big on Dipset. I fucked with Cam, I fucked with Juelz. I really didn't mess with Jim Jones as far as like the music is concerned. Like, but when they made shit together, like, you know what I'm saying, Diplomatic Immunity, obviously. But when they made their records together, I fucked with it. And but I wasn't crazy Dipset though. So, but still though. You said it right there. Like, you still feel like those are the drug dealing cousins, the ones you like to hang around, and then seeing them beef right now is just crazy.
Yeah, like those...
and I don't even know why exactly these niggas is into it.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't even
have the full knowledge of why.
I'm gonna tell you why I believe that Jim Jones and Cameron are beefing. I sometimes don't believe that Cameron is cool with Jimmy being on a certain level. I think he see Jim as the muscle. He see Jim as the henchman. And I think that when Jimmy started to ascend, I don't think Cam really liked that. I think that Jimmy put so much into Dipset and so much into being that muscle, that when he does not get the love and respect that he feels like he wants, he reacts off of emotion.
Okay.
I think Jimmy does a lot of reacting off of emotion. And Cam is very strategic in how he reacts to things. But this Cam's rant towards the end was the first time I was like, damn, one of them is right now. And I think Cam is right. He might not have started it off the right way, like most people do when they angry at the homie. But Cam, in his own way, basically told Jimmy, I didn't grow up with you. I didn't spend time in the sandbox with you. I didn't come up with you. I wasn't around you in the seventh and eighth grade. I wasn't around you in high school. I wasn't around you when I started, like, you came around when we started rapping. You think we're like this, son. We're not. Mace, and also, I do think there's a little bit of jealousy when Jimmy C, Cam, and Mace. Because I was with you when Mace left you. When Mace wasn't fucking with you, I was.
But see, is that jealousy or is that like confusion? Because I could be like, because Jimmy, because I mean, obviously, we seen Cam and Mace. Them niggas was beefing too. Them niggas said horrible things about each other.
Like, when and that's why I'm like,
so Jimmy, it's like, Jimmy, like, bro, y'all niggas was, obviously, y'all put the differences aside, but the,
and y'all niggas said some bad.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think Jimmy liked that. He stays on how them niggas wasn't, and he was there. Right. Like, Cam to Mace is what Jimmy was to Cam. So Jimmy gonna always see it like that. Mm-hmm. Especially when I was with you when dude left your ass, and then he became a pastor and all of this shit. Like, I was with you for all of that shit. Now y'all niggas back being best friends, and now you just push me to the side. That's how Jimmy feel. Like, he see that.
But they was, but that beef was,
it is what it, I guarantee Jimmy saw it is what it is and was like, oh, word, for real?
But that beef was boiling in the pot before Cam and Mace reconciled, though.
Yeah, of course they've had their issues before. They do this shit like every 10 years. But that's why I said I think this is different. Especially when Cam is bringing up everybody he grew up with, but and basically telling you, you was a fan.
And you know, like, what's crazy too?
This is the group.
Right.
It's like, okay, when you look at your friend group, right? Or like, I won't even say your friend group, the people that's not blood that's closest to you. So for me, right, it's like, not blood. My man Derek, Mario, those are the two. Like, those are the two that I've known since we was 4, 5, 6. Not blood, them are the closest people in my life. We have never beefed. We have never beefed. But, I mean, we fought as kids and shit, but we've never been like, man, fuck you, I ain't hollering at you. I ain't talking to you. I don't think, to be honest, I don't think that could ever happen. But if they had some shit that was going on and they needed muscle, I would fight a nigga for them. And I would whoop a nigga ass for them. That's how I feel about them. I don't think they could probably beat a nigga ass for me, because I ain't never seen it, but I fought for them. Mm-hmm. What if we did beef, though, and me knowing that? But they might have somebody that they also grew up with that they was like, no, you not that. I would probably feel away, because I would be like, yo, I thought we was twin. That's how Jim feels. I might not have grown up with you in that way, but I was there for you with all of the bullshit. I put my life on the line for you. Yeah. Cam probably like, I ain't tell you to do that shit.
Right.
You did it for dumb shit. Strategic. I know he's going to do the dummy shit. So when Cam tells him at the end, you putting your mans on dummy missions, and that's why all of them niggas is in jail, you beefing with folks, get your ass beat, and now you they best friends. But then you around here doing all this extra shit. Like, nigga, Cam basically, in Cam's Harlem way, said, we're 50. What are you doing? Stop all this shit, fam. You're 50. Even though Cam do this shit himself sometimes, Cam just like, look, you doing that shit, I'm not even thinking about rap no more, my G. Like, mm-hmm. I'll just do it for fun, but I am not on none of that. Like, all these people you saw that we so-called had beef with when we was Dipset, it wasn't really beef. It was rap shit.
Yeah.
And I'm grown enough to know that shit. You're not You still out here trying to be king of the bloods in New York. When you gonna get away from that?
Yeah.
And when you look at Jimmy, what does he say? I did all of that shit. The one thing that I took from all of that, and I would never want to be in a position like how Cam said Jim Jones was. To me, the worst thing Cam said to that man basically is, grow the fuck up. You can't tell a 50-year-old man to grow up, B, without, like, what? Like, when he brought up Emery and how Emery got out and put everybody on and did this and did that, but put them on and they prospered. He brought up Biggs. He got out of jail. He prospered. He got people straight, prospered. But then tell Jim Jones, look at all your people. They in jail. Like, I love those people too. We ain't as close as y'all are. That's your group. Like how Mace and all of them, that's my group. That's your group. And look at your group. Look at mine. He basically said, we all grew up. We all grew out of that shit. What are you doing? To me, that's the worst thing you could tell a 50-year-old nigga to grow up. You can say all that other shit, but to tell me when I'm sitting there with the straight leg, tight pants, the Tim's on, the denim tuxedo with the flag all over my head and all that, because then people see that. People see that because you brought up Juel Santana. Mm-hmm. Boy, every time I see Juel Santana, I'm like, man.
Hate to see it.
I hate to see it.
But you know what, though? It's crazy, too, because you mentioned, like, Cam might have had an issue with Jim Jones trying to elevate or always looked at Jim Jones as muscle, you know, in a sense. I go back. I honestly, like I said, I feel like this beef been like boiling, but I feel like this shit been brewing ever since balling. Because when have you really, when was the last time we've seen Cam and Jim and Dipset all be together, like as a collective doing shit together? It was when Jim Jones put out Ballin'. Like after Ballin', that's when Dipset died, bro. Like as far as like the like everybody as a collective, like that's when it died, bro. And that was 2006.
But that's what I said.
Seven, bro.
When Jimmy went from here to here
to elevating in music,
when he elevated past the muscle.
Yeah. That's the conversation I want to hear. I want to hear when and why all of this shit started, bro. And it sucks. Because I honestly, like I said, I still don't know technically. We still don't know technically or whoever, just inside people. Like, why are these niggas actually into it? Why Cam don't fuck with them no more? It kind of feels like in a sense that Juelz is like neutral. He in the middle of this shit. I feel like he got love for Cam. He still fuck with Jim Jones, but it's still.
But it's like he tends there, to go though. To the Jim Jones it's, route. Oh yeah, he still takes because it
feels like Cam don't really fuck with him. And then we seen him do the verses, but we already know Cam already came out and said that before verses, he didn't fuck with them niggas. He did that shit for the bread. They did that shit for the culture and for the bread. And then right out, he said, and the nigga said they haven't seen each other since verses.
I think,
which is crazy to me.
I think the other thing that old niggas got to understand, because you saw Jim Jones go on Funk Flex show crying and shit with the unshaven beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About how he used to do this and he used to that and he this and that to Cam. Look, niggas outgrow people, fam. And sometimes that's hard for people to understand. I think Cam may have had some jealousy. Fuck it. I think Cam did have some jealousy when Ballin came out. dude, because you was the little nigga that surpassed me. But I also think that Cam ultimately didn't give a fuck.
True.
And Jimmy feels a way about Cam not giving a fuck.
Because look though, you could say this too. Because after Ballin came out, remember the Where's Cam'ron campaign? Mm-hmm. Remember that shit? That was after Ballin. You literally seen Cam'ron in the Ballin video. And after that, we didn't see Cam'ron for a long time, bro. He disappeared, bro. Like, he wasn't riding that wave with Jim Jones when Jim Jones was doing his thing on the solo tip. Like, and you didn't see him there at all.
And quite possibly, Cam, after like, okay, he might have just was like, yo, let Jimmy have his time.
Right.
Y'all got it. But I also believe, especially now where Cam is at, from what it looks like, cover Black Enterprise and got to deal with Underdog Fantasy, and then you linking back to your actual best friend. I think Cam is grown from where Jimmy is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, Cam is still Cam, but Cam ain't doing, or at least in the open, doing that. Jim's still chasing the young nigga shit. Hence, OGYN. Cam don't care to be an OGYN. Cam almost at the point where, man, we 50 plus, fam. I'm happy to be an old nigga. I'm happy to be back with my homie. I'm happy we making bread. We got stat. We got a young. Like, I'm actually doing something. Like, that whole podcasting and celebrities going in certain routes, for some people, yeah, it's a bag and all of that stuff. Yeah, for some people, it's that. But I really believe for others, I think for others, people are simply just like, yo, this is an outlet that I kind of been wanting to do.
Absolutely.
Like, Cam, people,
I like that, bag. I like that mentality. You ain't Elliot Wilson.
Yeah, like,
you okay with it? You okay with the new media? You cool?
Yeah, I mean, because I am new media.
There you go.
I didn't go to goddamn Northwestern and all of this shit. But yeah, like, my thing when I look at all of this is, I always say, when it comes to certain people, that you want to see the change and the growth in them. Uh-huh. I can see somebody be this all day long. But then when they get to a certain age, I want to see the change in them. Uh-huh. Because I eventually want to see that change in them.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you want to see the change in them. And when it comes to, like, some of your favorite artists, you want to see that. Like, we talk about all the time, we want to see people get introspective and all of that stuff. You want to see the growth in people. And it don't
got to necessarily be like your favorite rapper or whatever like that, grew, like, getting older. You don't have to see them continue to rap. They don't have to rap anymore. Oh. Like, it's okay to not rap anymore. It's cool. You know, as long as you see them still elevating in other areas, it's all good. Just want to see the growth. You don't want to see your favorite rapper still.
And Jim Jones is 48 years old. Jim really? Jones is 48 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 50. He's 48. Excuse me. He's 48 years old.
Honestly, when I hear 48, I don't feel like 48 is old. Like,
I don't either, because I'm 42. I'd be 43.
No, that's not old.
But I'm going to give you a couple of examples, right? I'm going to give you a couple examples. They're in the same group. We've never seen them lash out at each other. We've never seen them have beef. I guarantee you they fought each other. I guarantee you that they've had some strong disagreements. But we've never seen it publicly. And they still perform with each other to this day. Look at the locks. Look at the locks when we first saw them. Look at them when they got out of them shiny suits. Juices for life. Like, I met the locks and told Styles P that Alone in the Street is one of my favorite songs of all time. And he was like, oh, out of all the songs, I was like, yeah, Alone in the Street is one of my favorite songs. Like, when I listen to Alone in the Street, I listen to, like, you know, William talking basically about his brother Don and how, like, really, like, he's just out here alone and he's just figuring it out in the street, doing what he need to do, standing tall, boom, boom, boom. I love that song, right? But then when you look at Styles P, the Styles P that you know probably poked the nigga a couple of times, the same Styles P that did a little bit of time himself, is the same Styles P that's out here that's a vegan, that's out here juices for life, that's out here talking about health is wealth, take care of your bodies, live long lives. Look at Jadakiss. Jadakiss is out here in the best shape of his life, doing pull-ups and shit.
Doing pull-ups, grew his hair.
Got some coffee with his dad and his brother. Hey, you got Sheik, who always just been Sheik, just like a regular nigga who could rap. You don't hear nothing about Sheik. You see Jadakiss, you see Styles. The Lox, I believe, is the best example of growth in hip-hop. Without trying to put a monetary value, like, look at Jay-Z, he's a billionaire. Look at Nas. Look at that. No, go look at the locks. Go look at the locks on Planet Groove.
I think when it comes to... And then go look
at the locks now. The locks have probably had about 4 or 5 different lives. And you never saw them outwardly have issues with each other. If they did, they all kept it internally. The Lox, to me, is the best growth story in hip-hop without revolving around the bank account.
I can see that. I also feel like Outkast is another example of growth outside of what we know them to be. Like, you know, Andre 3000 just made a flute album that's nominated for a Grammy. Big Boy then went on to have... you know, his own solo career. He put out numerous solo projects. He's done the acting thing, you know, and the entrepreneur thing and everything like that. But we've never seen them lash out at each other. We know that it's all love. You know, we beg for another Outkast album, or we beg for another Andre 3000 solo album. But we know we'll never get it. But, you know, there's no type of bad blood. And we've seen the growth. They not still living in the 2000s and the 90s, you know, they're not still living off that. They grew, they elevated themselves, you know, to other areas in life. And they did it gracefully.
I think what we're truly missing in hip hop is niggas aging gracefully.
Those are the type of things we want to see from our cousins. We want to see that type of elevation. We don't want to see this. We don't want to see the lashing out on platforms.
We don't want to see
you
fighting.
I don't want to see Cameron. I mean, obviously, Cameron is good at what he does, and you know, Cameron is gonna let the jokes fly and everything like that. So he's gonna bring it with humor, and he's gonna, you know what I'm saying, he's gonna entertain us. But I don't want to see Jim Jones making rap disses, bro, on Instagram.
I don't want to see that. Like, I don't want to see that, because then only people that's going to care about that diss is people that want to see niggas diss each other. I don't want to see Jim Jones do a rap diss to 50 Cent and Cameron. He's 48 years old. I don't want to see that.
Wasn't on my bingo card.
Yeah, like, rappers, I don't want, if you're 45 and older, I'll give you a grace period. If you're 45 and older, I don't want to see you have diss records. I don't. I truly don't. I don't give a damn who the rapper is.
Yeah.
I want to see growth. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, as you get older, you don't want to see your cousins have beef. You don't want to see your cousins have beef with each other like them your first best friends. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see your closest homies have beef. You don't want to see 20, 30, 40 years of friendship broken up.
Look, here go another example. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? All right, you could go back. And we talked about the Saint Lunatics on this pod before. Yeah. But these niggas is suing Nelly. Like, for like royalties on Country Grammar. Like, I don't want to see that, bro. I don't, like, that was a time, fam. That was an era when, you know what I'm saying, Nelly and the Saint Lunatics had it, bro. Now they beefing over Country Grammar, bro. Like, that album. Like, oh, yeah, Nelly ain't paying us. Blah, blah, blah. They getting on social media and they saying all of these bad things about Nelly, bro. We want to see the elevation, bro. Nelly obviously is elevating. He's doing his thing. The man got married, had a baby, spent the block on his old girl, bro. And you know what I'm saying? It's beautiful to see. I don't want to hear about, you know, Murphy Lee and Ali and them niggas suing
him. Really Ali.
It's really Ali. Yeah, I think Ali, like, look, bro, look, y'all niggas don't want to do it. Y'all whatever, but I want my bread. I hate to see it. I hate to see it now. 20 years later, I hate to see it. You know, that's not what I want to see.
Our country cousins
beefing, our drug dealer cousins beefing. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
If I could send a message to any old rapper that I grew up with listening to, call y'all niggas out. If I could send a message to rappers that I grew up listening to, age gracefully, fam.
Yeah.
Like, just age gracefully. DG just said Wu-Tang. Look at Method Man, fam.
Bro, my man out here doing his thing, bro.
Look at Ghostface. Like, look at these cats. I think the Lux, outside of the Jay-Z and the Nas shit, like, outside of that, and that's really like, well, Jay-Z, money, business sense, okay. Nas, lyrically, all that stuff. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about bars. I'm talking about life at this point, like living life. The Lox is, to me, the best example of growth in hip-hop. Like I said, Jadakiss is in the best shape of his career. Styles P, Juices for Life, vegan, him and his wife, really trying to get the community healthy. Sheik is still going to do his thing regardless. Outkast, just growth to where we might not be on the same page, but that's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Wu-Tang, look at Ghostface. Look at Method Man. Look at the RZA. That's what we want to see as we get older. Because then when we point to some of these young rappers who's dying early for various reasons, we look at that generation and say, hey, man, y'all might call us old, but look what we're doing. I don't want to see Cam and Jimmy beefing. But when Cam said, basically, look at your surroundings and grow up, he got to honor that. He got to really think about it. It ain't nothing to being an OGYN, fam. It's nothing. It's nothing worth being an OGYN. Just be an OG and get away from that shit and actually enrich people's lives. Now, if Jimmy is doing that, that's great. Cam is doing that, that's great. And people split apart, but we don't need to see that shit. That's all I'm saying on that shit. Last week, we was talking about the new hottest song in the world.
Yeah. Jello. G3.
And now look at us. Now look at us.
Look.
$13 million deal.
This man got a record deal. Look, hey, look. You know what's funny too, babe? I'm so glad that me and you do this podcast now. It has elevated me. I've grown as a person. How long we been doing Some Dude Pod? What has it been?
2 years. It'd be three. No, longer than that.
How about say longer than
that? I'm tripping. I'm like thinking of the 200 episodes. What, four years?
2019. So,
damn. It's been six.
I want to say 2019.
It was the pandemic.
No, it was before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic. Yeah, because I almost
2019.
Died.
You did.
So, yeah, 4 years.
2019. Bang. Like, five, 6 years ago, bang. Year six. DG, you are absolutely correct. 5 or 6 years ago, if I would have heard, if this would have happened, I would have been a hater. I would have been that guy, like, bro, get that weak ass shit out of here, man. Like, bro, like basketball players turning rappers, da da da. Like, get that shit out of here. I would have been one of those guys on the internet. But I have changed, and I thank you for that, man. You've helped me change. You've helped me grow, and I am cool with this. I'm happy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love to see it, bro. I love to see it. You know, and we talked about it. Basketball, obviously, for whatever it didn't work out for him. It was, you know, circumstances happened, you know, for him at college and, you know, him not pursuing, like, playing overseas and all stuff like that. But Jello out here making bread. He making music now. He got married, had a child. He grew up early. But he nonetheless, he grew up. And now he out here making music, bro. Shout out to Jello. You know what I'm saying? Def Jam. That's cool, bro. I'm cool with it. I have no problem with it, bro. And I love to see it. I love to see it.
It's a catch 22 with this. Shouts out to the boy Illinois for having this discussion with us on there. On I ain't gonna hold you. I get what he's saying, though. There's gotta be some policing in hip hop. You can't just have a whole bunch of Jellos. There's got to be some balance. And right now, there's not a lot of balance. So I get what he's saying.
Okay.
But also, I agree with him on this too. If we was, like, we was talking about on the podcast last week about how this song, like, just remind us of, like, 98, 99, 2000.
Absolutely.
But if Nelly would have did that same song, we would be clowning Nelly.
If Nelly did that song right now?
If put Nelly instead of Jello in that same exact song, we would be clowning Nelly.
Because we would say, damn, Joe, this shit sound outdated. Nelly ain't grew up. He's still making the same kind of music.
So here's... I understand what my parents was talking about when they heard Mary J. Blige. And they heard her remake songs, or they heard like Puff remixes, and was like, yo, y'all taking our songs. I understand now, y'all. I understand.
Do you feel like that's what Jello did? Like, do you think he made that record to channel the 90s or the early 2000s? No. Okay, go ahead.
I believe that he made a song. And he wanted to make a song, and he probably wanted to sound, have that big timers type feel.
Yeah.
Not no diss to the big timers or not. Let me see. No. Vintage is in. What I'm saying is that when we were younger, like let's go back to Mary J. Blige and how Mary J. Blige would come out with a song. It might have a sample from an older song, or it might be a remake. Like, let's go, I'm Going Down. We love Mary J. Blige, I'm Going Down. You know who didn't like it, though? A lot of people that liked the original version and was like, yo, why are you singing the original version?
What's the same thing with Mary J. Blige's Sweet Thing?
Yes. Granted. The Catch 22 is like a whole bunch of Catch 22s. Those same people were not mad when Luther Vandross was remaking Dionne Warwick songs. They, because he sung that shit so well, he owned the song.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary J. Blige do Sweet Thing or Puff do a remix and have a song up in there that he sampled is, oh, why are you taking, like, an old person probably won't say that shit now because they like Mary J. Blige now. But your parents was listening to Mary J. Blige. If you my age, your parents, your uncles, your aunties was real pissed at Mary J. Blige for taking and remixing songs. Uh-huh. They was mad at Puff too. Why can't you sing no original shit? Yes. Folks was upset. That's us now. Yo, why are they sampling all these songs from the 90s? Why every song that comes out sound like a song that I was listening to back in 1995? Why does Jello make this song that sounds like something from 1999? How come Nelly can't do that? Y'all will be clowning Nelly. We're that now.
Okay.
That own it, y'all. Own it. We're our parents now.
Yeah.
Our parents didn't like sampling. Y'all parents, our parents didn't like remakes, even though Luther had hella remakes. Y'all ain't want none of that. Y'all wanted artists to sing their own original joints. Now look at me, 42 years old, talking about some why Sweetie sampling Jill Scott. Why these little kids over here sampling goddamn 90s joints? Why y'all sampling Jodeci? Why y'all sampling H-Town? We got to own it, fam. It's part of the growth.
I've always been one of those guys who, like, when rappers, like, rap over, like, dead presidents, I hate that so much. I hate it. Oh, my God. Dead Presidents is my favorite Jay-Z song ever, so I hate it. And that beat gets recycled a lot. And I hated it so much. I still, to this day, if rappers decide to rap over, like, really, like, you know, 96, 97 hip-hop records for my favorites, like a Biggie or a Jay or a Nas or something like that, bro, I just cringe.
We are parents, G. We are parents.
I hate it so much.
Look, out of all the shit that Mary J. Blige was sampling and remaking, now we send up the like, well, why y'all redoing that Mary J. Blige song?
Yeah.
Like, why? Oh, that's what we are now.
Damn.
And so to bring it to the Jello thing, Illy was right. I think he was 100% right. Like, no artist in our time was going to have a viral hit song off of a song that sounds like something that they would have done in 1999. But yet you go on TikTok and you see people doing dances to Tupac, How Do You Want It?
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's with a lot of records now. Like, these kids are doing TikToks to old school records. They doing, like, certain cities. They doing their own dance routines, like a city like Baltimore got their own little dance. They using classic shit from like the 80s, 70s.
They using Sherilyn Encore.
Yeah, Encore. Yep, that's the record they using. You can see these kids now. They doing all of this stuff, bro, with these records. And they ain't like a sample thing. They just literally taking the new age dance and they using the old school records. Like, that's what they doing, bro. Like, I ain't even mad at it neither. I enjoy it. I'm cool.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Like, it's cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no problem with it. I've come to that's growth too. I'm like,
but the minute you go and say, why they sampling, you became your parents.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why they sampling? Your parents was in 1994. Like, why they sampling?
Mm-hmm.
Make your own music.
Yeah.
That's you now. You gotta own it. You gotta own it, y'all. But what I like about the Jello song, and I'll continue to say what I like about the Jello song, is that it's fun. Like, Jello ain't trying to be like no hip-hop prodigy. He ain't trying to, you know, be the most lyrical. He's not trying to be a lyrical kingpin that sings sin, thin chin, sun, moons, and stars. I got all of the bars. Sun. He ain't trying to do that.
He going in the booth, he having fun,
and
he got something good to come out of it, bro. You know, that's all it is.
Like, he like, see, there you go. My mom was death hating Mary J. Blige back then. Yep. Let's be real about it. Your mama did not like Mary J. Blige in 1994.
Hilarious.
She like her now.
Yeah.
But when Mary J. Blige was drinking and on drugs, you ain't like her.
Flipping them old school R&B records. Because
she was flipping all y'all 70s hits. Now y'all love her. Just fine. Woo! Now y'all go auntie at the Essence Festival. Go auntie. But back in 1994, y'all was the same people. They was, why is she sampling? Damn, that Puff Daddy. That Puff Daddy always sampling somebody else's other stuff.
Yeah.
Look at you now. just fine, 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 fine. Ooh, fine, 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 fine. Ooh.
And she about to go on tour.
At the Essence Festival, just loving Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, shout out Mary.
Look at you. Look at you. 1994, though. It's goddamn Mary J. Blige taking everybody's song. So, look, I want hip-hop to get fun again. Let me just say this. I want hip-hop to be fun again. I don't need the extra bars. Like I said, I don't need the lyrical kingpin to sing sin.
You don't want a rappity rap rapper no more?
Yeah, I don't want rappity rappers. We don't need all that. Rappity rapper shit. I don't need to see, you know, the sun and the moons and the airwaves, space-time continuum. I'll be giving it to them. Real thug shit. Illuminati. Like, John Gotti.
We're too old to be trying to break these bars down.
As somebody who used to rap, I'm too old to try to break your bars down, fam.
But I think that's why I think Kendrick's GNX is a perfect example, because I feel like this is the funnest Kendrick we've had.
Yeah.
We know Kendrick to be that guy who could rap, who gets lyrical, you know what I'm saying, who gonna spit that shit. And I think with this album, he's still doing that, but this record, this album is fun.
Yeah.
It got slaps on it, dog.
Yeah, have fun.
Slaps. It's fun, bro.
What's another one? Some rappity rap bars. I know the backpackers are going to be mad as hell. Like, all the little rappity rap niggas going to be mad as hell. But nah, I'm cool with that. Shut up. Like, shut up, Vincent. Like, I'm straight. Like, I don't need to hear, like, yo, man, hey, man, yo, son. Son, what? Kid, what?
Yeah.
Bars. Yeah. Hold on, y'all. Wait a minute. Yeah. Frank Sinatra, gun in your mouth talk. Branch Davidian, see ya. Burn down the house like Waco. Take no. your bit like. What did you just say? Like, what did you just say? I'm too old for that.
I hear you.
I want to, whoa, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hear Branch Davidian, burn your house down like Waco, Jayco, 12 hit the nigga in the head like Ray Lewis, Dick Buckus, go kiss, long kiss, good night, flight at 9, the sun rays, tell me that my days is going to be sunny.
Do not
niggas looking bummy. Like, I don't
do
want
not, do thing. Not lyrically bar up. We don't want to not bar lyrically no bar more. Up, Joji.
If I want to be lyrically barred up, I'll go get the album from when I was listening to it. But now I don't want to hear no new lyrically bar me up shit. All
right.
Just get to the point. That's why I like West Side Gun. Especially when he do his loves. Come here, bitch. I know what I'm getting. Know what I'm getting? I'm sorry. That's why, like, that's why we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I like R&B music, and I will listen to R&B music all day long, because as soon as I listen to a song and the man try to tell me about how the sun and the moon and the stars and all of these bars and the Illuminati got me still. Like, I'll listen to Mobb Deep.
That's the what you call it meme right there. Just
this motherfucker trying to get me to learn. Something. I am 40. You don't want to listen to them bars. You don't want to try to learn something. No, I'm 42. I'm going on 43. I don't want to learn. I learned all of that in 1997. I learned it all. I don't want to learn no more.
My brain is tired.
Tired. I don't want to learn that no more.
Yeah.
No. Just get to the point. Boy, let's just have fun. Yeah. If I wanted to somebody to kick knowledge to me, I would listen to Nas. It was written.
I listened to some Common.
I listen to some Common. Not listening to you. That's why I listen to R&B. I'm straight. I don't want to. No, I listen to R&B. Yes. Before we, I know somebody go, fuck Bang. He don't know nothing about no real rap. He nah, man, nah, bang, you wrong for that shit. Nah, man, get to the point. Nobody want to hear all this shit. No, I'm 42. I don't want a thesaurus with my bars. Let the young nigga go to genius.
Oh, shit.
I don't need a thesaurus with my bars.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I don't want to go to the source and the shit when they had the verse, what is that shit? I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And then I have to break down your shit. I don't want to have to go to genius and say, Branch Davidian, mm-mm, burn your house down like Waco. Mm-mm. Oh, so what I was talking about there is, you know.
No. Do not double entendre, triple entendre me, okay?
What I was talking about then was, if you don't know, the Branch Davidians, David Koresh, they had the joint in Waco, and they burned down the house. And I was like, I'll burn down your house like Waco. So the Branch Davidians, the Branch Davidians burn down your house like Waco. Then I take your. You ain't feeling that? See, y'all don't know nothing about real hip hop, son. Y'all don't know nothing about real hip hop, son. That's why music is dead right now, son. That's why it's dead right now, son. Because y'all don't want to hear no real bars. Y'all want to hear no real shit. Mm-mm. Y'all want to hear no knowledge in y'all raps. Y'all just want to hear all that other shit, that drill, Jello. Y'all don't want to hear that real shit, that Geruda Damager. Even though I fuck with Come Clean, I don't want nobody. Let's
move on.
Hey, man.
Before we get up
out of here. You got any hot takes before you dip?
Before we get out of here, man. Do I got any hot takes, man? Nah, I ain't got no hot takes, G. I mean, nah, man, we good, bro. We good. And divisional round, you got predictions real quick?
Shinobi bars.
You got a prediction?
Shinobi bars. Shinobi bars breaking in your mind like the Kia boys break in cars.
Whoa, my car got broken into by a Kia boy.
I'm sorry.
Relax.
My bar's sick like SARS.
Relax.
Mars Blackman. Joins on my feet. Hangman. Slang men. Made men. Bars.
Relax.
Divisional.
Lamar versus Josh Allen, bang. Who you got?
Hey, man, bro? I got Baltimore versus Kansas City in the AFC Championship.
The rematch.
I got Detroit versus Pittsburgh. Philadelphia in the NFC Championship. I'll give y'all predictions after that. But yeah, that's what I got. I got Detroit versus Philly, and I got Baltimore versus Kansas City. Okay. Who you got?
I'm gonna go Josh Allen, bro. I'm gonna take Josh Allen in the Bills versus the Chiefs. That's a rematch too. We're gonna run that back from 2 years ago. We're gonna run that one back. And I got Detroit versus Philly.
Okay.
Detroit versus Philly. I would like to see the Rams though, low key. But I honestly don't see.
Yeah, I just can't see.
The Rams, yeah, I'm gonna pick Philly because if they can't stop Saquon is on another level right now. So I don't see the Rams stopping Saquon. Keep feeding Saquon, and Philly will be all right. So yeah, that's my predictions there.
And Tiger Woods and his golf joint is they doing it tonight?
Yeah,
they
debuting
tonight.
What is this? This is
this little golf joint. I don't know. I don't watch golf, but I know it's some stuff that's going on. Frank Sinatra, Smooth Criminal, Mike Jackson, Lean Back, Fat Joe. I ain't no hoe. I'm trying to tell y'all bars all day like bars all day like Casanova.
No. If we don't have anything else,
verticals like Earl the Goat, man the Goat.
Some do pod. Hey, make sure y'all rate.
Verticals like Earl the Goat, man the Goat.
Y'all subscribe.
Tag teaming, Road Warriors, Legion of Doom, Zoom, like the Commodores, Lionel Richie.
No. I'm going to swerve in that corner.
My bars.
Whoa. Hold on tight. I get the tweaking.
My bar stay low, Nicole bitchy.
And start letting that shit go.
I gotta get my money. My palms itchy.
We don't want to hear that shit no more.
I gotta get this, I gotta get this money. My palms itchy.
Turn that little baby on,
itchy,
bro.
And scratchy.
Where that little baby at?
Bars
baby
go long like the Simpsons TV series. I'm serious, like Sirius Jones.
Nah, man.
Bones.
Nah.
Justice.
Nope.
Smack a bitch like David Justice. Do balls with the Atlanta Braves. Crime pays. You gotta put crime pays.
I gotta listen to this Red Man album. You listen to Red Man album? You listen to Muddy Waters too? Did you listen to it?
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is some podcast. We out. Peace.